All right. It is time for junior church. So if you have any kids that you would like to go that way, you are more than welcome to send them. If they want to stay up here with us, they're welcome up here too. We love kids. All that said, with John gone today, we have a special guest speaker that I'd like to quickly introduce to you and then be out of his way. So Bill, if you could come and join us. Bill has the privilege today of sharing with us the Word of God.
There we go. Hey, everybody. Good to see you all. As Pastor Drew said, I'm Bill Smith. And if I have not met you, I am John's son-in-law. Lisa is my daughter. And I'm Papa to all them gross kids running around. So I am here for... filling in for John for a really good, happy reason, which Pastor Drew is going to tell you about that, a little bit about that at the end of the service. So just to tell you a little bit about myself, I've had the privilege of serving at Youth for Christ, reaching out to lost and hurting teens for the last 38 years. This morning, before I came here, I have preached twice this morning at the Kalamazoo County Juvenile Home. So I'm praying that my voice holds up this morning. And we went over that very story that was so well told there with the cartoon characters. An amazing thing for some of these young people in the juvenile home, they're hearing that story for the first time in their life. You know, Christmas is a very special day. For me growing up, Christmas was about Santa Claus and presents and cookies and candy and fun until I found out that Santa wasn't real and I was sad. Oops, sorry. Kids, I hope I didn't spoil that for anybody. That's what my best friend Wayne told me. He said, and but I kept getting presents, so I was happy about that. But when you look at the word Christmas, C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ, Jesus, right? When you take Christ out of Christmas, you just kind of have kind of a mess left. And for my family growing up, Christmas was kind of a crazy party. My mom and dad liked to drink, and all my aunts and uncles would come over, and our kitchen countertop would become the bar, and the fridge would be full of beer, and my parents would drink and with my aunts and uncles. And, you know, back then it seemed like every adult smoked tobacco almost. The house would be full of smoke, and all me and my cousins and brothers and sisters, we would just be running around the house going crazy. And the more the adults drank, the more they didn't care what we were doing. And it really was somewhat of a mess because Christ was not in our Christmas. When I was 20 years old, I saw Jesus rescue my best friend from drug addiction, alcohol addiction. It was so miraculous that I knew that only God could do that. And he shared with me the true story of Jesus, why he came, what he did on that cross for us, how he conquered death. And I asked Jesus to be my Savior at the age of 20. And I remember going home for Christmas that year. I didn't live at home, but I went to my parents, and everything was the same with the way they celebrated Christmas, but I had this joy and this peace in my heart. And I remember asking my mom and dad if I could read the Christmas story, and we had never done that at Christmas time. But Jesus is what Christmas is all about. Jesus is all about hope. Christmas is all about hope. Now I want to take you back thousands and hundreds of years to 6th century BC at a time when Israel was falling apart. They had turned from the true God and they were worshiping idols, and their leaders had become corrupt, and the whole nation was just in shambles. And God warned his people that if you don't repent, I'm going to take away my protective hand and the nations will come in and wreak havoc on your nation. And sure enough, Babylon came in 605 BC and conquered Israel. Well, during that time, Jeremiah was a prophet. And I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. I want to show you a promise of hope that God gave the Jewish people during the captivity. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah, he preached, he tried to warn the people during, before the captivity and even during the captivity. And God, through the prophet Jeremiah, comes to Israel with these words in chapter 29, verse 11. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So things weren't going good for Israel at all. Their nation had been decimated, but God comes and he says, "Wait, Israel, I have not given up on you. I have a plan for you, for a good future, for a hope." And he gave the promise in verse 13, "If you seek me, you will find me." Jesus, Messiah, Son of God, was the greatest part of this plan for Israel. God said, "I have not forgotten about you. I have a plan." And all through the Old Testament, this plan was laid out to Israel. So many promises of the Messiah in the ancient Holy Scriptures. Now I want to share a story with you of some wise men from the East called Magi, and how through the prophecies they knew of a newborn king. And I want to show you how the shepherds illustrate the promise of Jeremiah 29:13, where God said, "If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." He says, "I'll be real to you. I will show you my beauty and your glory." I remember as a new believer, somebody giving me a coffee mug, and it said, "Wise men still seek him." And I knew the story of the wise men because I had read it in the Word. And that just so resonated with me. I said, "Lord, I want to be one of those wise men who still seek him. To be one of those wise women who seek him." And so we're going to see what we can learn from the journey of these Magi. So before we dive into the story, I would like to pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for your word. It is such a treasure, and that it is the ultimate revelation of who you are. And I thank you that in your word we learn the story of our King Jesus and his amazing birth and the announcement to the shepherds and Mary being obedient and Joseph, and that you gave your son to be our Savior. You gave your son so that we could become sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Father, so much for this privilege. I just pray now, Lord, that you will speak to us through your word, that it will be your spirit who is speaking this morning, Lord, and that through this time together, we will want to seek you more than ever before. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 2. This is where we're going to find the story of the wise men. Read with me verse 1. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?'" And so we meet these wise men. Some translations call them magi. They were the spiritual leaders from Persia, Babylon. So when the Jews were taken captive, they were taken to Babylon. These wise men are called wise men because they were seekers of knowledge. They were seekers of truth. They were men who studied the ancient writings, looking for the truth of who the true God is. They were also men who studied the stars. And they had been looking for a particular star. When Israel was taken captive, they came in and they ransacked the temple the first time that they came into Jerusalem. And they took a lot of the things from the temple, along with lots of captives, that's where the book of Daniel comes in, back to Babylon in 605 BC. They also took the holy scriptures that were had been written at that time, and they took them to Babylon. And I believe that these wise men had copies of the ancient scriptures. They would have been brought to Babylon, and copies would have continued to be made while the Jews were in captivity there. Some Jews did not even come back to Israel when they were set free 70 years later. And so some of these copies of scriptures stayed in Babylon. And I believe that these wise men were studying the scriptures, that they were seeking the truth, and that they were seeking the true God. It's the scriptures that reveal who God is and what his plan is. God said, remember 29:13, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. What better place to seek the Lord than in his holy word? What a treasure we have in his book as it reveals his beauty and his glory. Nature reveals the beauty and power of God, but nature does not tell us the names of God and his characteristics like this holy book does. And there's, turn with me to Numbers 24. This is how I think that these wise men knew what this star meant. These scriptures would have been in Babylon at that time. Numbers chapter 24. And we will be reading verses 16 and 17. The oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. It says a star will arise to proclaim this king. It speaks of a scepter. That's the king's royal rod that he would hold in his hand and would represent his kingly authority. I believe that these wise men had come across this prophecy And they were already men who loved to study the stars. And when they read that star, it must have just jumped out at them. And I believe that they began to look for this star. I can imagine how happy they were when they saw this star in the sky. The scroll of Isaiah, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, would have been another one of the scriptures that they could have had there in Babylon. And there are so many prophets of this amazing King Jesus. And so perhaps they read Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Maybe they knew this prophecy too, that a son would be given, and they were waiting for this star to proclaim the newborn king. That's why I believe when they saw that star, they knew what it meant, because we see obviously when they get to Israel that they talk about the star and they're seeking the newborn king. I want to think about it for a minute, what it would involve for them to seek this newborn king. So they live over in what you would think of modern-day Iran, okay, back where Babylon was. There's a big desert between there and Israel. Israel would have been to the west of them. And they saw that star. And the first thing they had to do was make a decision. Will we go in search of this newborn king? It would mean leaving their old life behind. It would mean leaving the comforts of home behind. It would involve a lot of effort. It would involve a lot of cost. This was a long journey. It would have been expensive. They would have had to skirt the desert, head south along the Euphrates, and then, head north, and then cut across upper Israel, and then come down to avoid most of the desert. It would have been a long journey. We know from Herod, because when they encounter Herod, and he says, "Hey, when you find this king, come and tell me, because I want to worship him too." And we know wicked King Herod was lying. And we know the sad part of the story is when the wise men did not return to Herod, he sent his soldiers to kill all the boys that were 2 years old and younger. So we know that it was probably based on what the wise men had told Herod when they first saw the star, that this journey from the time they saw it to the time they got to Israel would have been about 2 years. So it would have been a long and costly journey. It would have been a dangerous journey. It meant risking their lives. It would take them through wild places and desert regions. They would be in threat of bandits and hostile people. And again, it would cost them time and effort. They counted the cost and they knew it was worth it to meet this newborn king. They were willing to leave everything behind and all the comforts of life and their old life behind, everything that they knew, to seek out this newborn king. What an example they are to us believers today, to go to search, to seek out God every day. Back to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. So they arrive in Israel, but there's a problem when they get to Israel. the star. They can't see it. Now, if Israel ever gets like Michigan, there's days on end when sometimes we don't see the stars, right? Because it's so cloudy. And I have to think that it must have got kind of cloudy when they got to Israel and they could not see the star. And so these men knew that Jerusalem was a holy city, that the temple was there. And in their mind, well, that would be a place for the king of Israel to be born in Jerusalem, right? So that's where they head. They head into Jerusalem. And even though they lost a star, they're not going to give up. Look at verse 2. So they arrive in Jerusalem and they're saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So they're asking everyone, where is the newborn king? Surely you have heard of your king who has been born. And all the people, they don't know, except for the shepherds, perhaps. When I read this, I thought, wow, isn't this the cry of the lost? Where is he who has been born king? A lost world crying out, tell us the good news. Tell us of King Jesus. And sometimes we hold back. But there is a lost world all around us that so desperately need Jesus. Our youth, oh, praise God. We at Youth for Christ are seeing a hunger in our teens for the truth of God. We, just in the last few months, we have seen so many young people say yes to King Jesus. And we're seeing them wanting Bibles, to want to read the Word, and there is a hunger in our world for meaning and truth. And we who know who King Jesus is, we need to spread that good news. They shared with the purpose of their search. They said, we have come to worship him. They knew that this king was no ordinary earthly king. They knew that based on the prophecies and I believe based on the Spirit's revelation in their own life, that they knew that Jesus was deity, that he was more than just an earthly king. But no one knows. But they're not going to give up. Now, pick up the story in verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So he gathers the religious leaders who would know the word of God, and he asked them, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That's Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Where did they find out the answer to where the king was? Here in the Word. Psalm 119, 105 says, your Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my path and a light unto my feet. This Word brings us to God. It brings us closer to God as we open His Word and read it and pray, God, show me your beauty in your glory. What a treasure of revelation we have in this Word. We are so blessed to have all 66 books of the Bible. Wow. So, it was the Word that had the answer. Look at verses 7 and 8. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, Bring word that I may come and worship him. Now we know that King Herod, because we know this story, I think, didn't want to worship Jesus. He wanted to wipe him out. But I do like what King Herod said to them. He said, search diligently for the child. Search diligently. Now I want you to turn, keep your finger here. We'll come back and finish the story. But turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to find that same thought of diligence in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So this is the ESV, very good translation. I enjoy the New King James Version. That's one of my favorite. And it uses the word diligently in this verse in our seek for God. To diligently seek him, it says that God rewards that. And as we're approaching a new year, I would challenge you to think about your approach to God. Are you diligently searching for him? Are you seeking him out? Are you crying out daily, Lord, teach me more of who you are. Help me to be closer to you. I would really encourage you to do that. Back to our story. So Herod says, yep, he says he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And we're back in Matthew 2, verse 9. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, and it came and rested over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. So they're on their way to Bethlehem, not far from Jerusalem. Apparently it was at night. They weren't even going to wait until the next day. They wanted to find King Jesus so desperately that they left and went off into the night. And God is rewarding their efforts. I think the clouds parted and they saw that bright in shining star, and they knew that was the star proclaiming Jesus, and they follow it in, and it's shining right above where Jesus and Mary and Joseph are. What joy they experienced in their search. They're almost ready to meet the king. Now, talking about this joy, I want to read to you Psalm 70, verse 4. You can turn there with me. Keep your finger in Matthew. We're gonna flip back there and finish the story. Psalm 70, verse 4 says this, may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. I know at times I feel like I'm missing that joy. But I know that times where I have really connected with God and his word, and he's opened my eyes to learn more of his beauty and glory, that puts a new smile on my face. The more you read of who he is, the more you'll know how much he loves you. You'll know how much more that he wants your ultimate good, that he wants to lead you, that he wants you to walk with him every moment in his presence, and that he is the best of all being. He is so merciful and gracious and so ready to help, and that brings joy. I think of Philippians where he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So back to our rejoicing wise men. So here they come. They come to the house. So at this point, Jesus isn't living in the manger, but apparently Mary and Joseph had decided to stay in Bethlehem after the birth of Jesus, because this could have been up to 2 years after his birth. And he's called a child, even not a baby here in this verse. Verse 11, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These men who were probably wealthy, to be able to take a journey like that, the cost that they would have incurred to take such a long journey, and they come with these expensive gifts. They were probably wealthy men of power. And what do you see them doing? You see them bowing before this toddler Jesus, this child Jesus, because again, they knew that he was no ordinary king. Even the fact that he wasn't in a palace, but he was in a humble home. Because I just read this verse the other day from Corinthians. It says that though he, Jesus, was rich in the glories of heaven, yet for our sakes he became poor. He became one of us, lived a humble life, walking those dusty streets of Israel, that through his poverty we might become rich. Oh, how blessed and rich we are as children of God. Now, in closing, I just want to talk about these three gifts. The first gift was gold. That is a gift for royalty, recognizing Jesus' kingship. The second gift was frankincense. This was a gift for deity. It was used in worship. It was used in the making of the incense that went up at the hour of prayer. It was fragrant and beautiful and costly. Frankincense for the priests of all priests. Gold for the king of all kings. And myrrh is a gift for his burial. Myrrh is what the more wealthy people would anoint the body of their loved one who had just passed. Again, it was very fragrant, and it would cover the smell of death, and it was often used for burial. I think of them giving that gift of myrrh to honor his sacrifice. Jesus said, I came to give my life as a ransom. He knew that he came to give his life for the sins of the world. What is the greatest gift that I can give to Jesus today? It'd be my heart. Yeah. It'd be my life. It would be my love. Those are the gifts that Jesus seeks. He said, just love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor. He said, if you'll do those two, you'll be keeping all the others. He said that the first and foremost one is to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why? Because that's how he loves you, with his entire being. He loves you just the way you are. He loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave us just the way we are. He wants to bring healing and transformation into our lives. As we celebrate Christmas, and we know who the true King is and what he has done for us, let's make Jesus our King, the King of our lives. Let our heart become his throne. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, in all these things will be added to you. First application, Every day, recognize Jesus as your King, as your Lord, and seek to follow him as such. Number two, seek him daily in his word and in his prayer. Seek to learn more of who he is and to connect with him on a deeper level. And then number three, live daily for his honor and glory, for he is so, so worthy. Remember our promise in Jeremiah 29:13. He said, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. He wants us to connect in a genuine, meaningful, real relationship. What an example those, I guess that's why they call them the wise men, because they were pretty wise in seeking Jesus. Let's be wise men. Let's be wise women. Let's be wise boys and wise girls, and let's seek this newborn King and live for his honor and his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for letting me come and share that today. And I'm gonna say a prayer, and then Drew is going to come up and finish this off. Lord, just thank you. Oh, what a King you are. King of kings, Lord of lords. Please show us more of your beauty and your glory, and may our hearts be as your throne. Thank you for this Christmas day coming up, and may in the midst of family and fun, may we just meditate on your most awesome gift to us, your coming to this earth. And ultimately dying on that cross to pay for our sins so that we can be sons and daughters of God. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And I pray in this upcoming year that you will show us more and more of your beauty and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.